Well, praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles, please turn to the book of Nehemiah, chapter 2. Nehemiah 2, beginning of verse 11. So I came to Jerusalem and was there 3 days. Then I arose in the night, I and a few men with me. I told no one what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem, nor was there any animal with me except the one on which I rode. And I went out by night through the valley gate to the serpent well and the refuse gate and viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and its gates, which were burned with fire. Then I went on to the fountain gate, to the king's pool, but there was no room for the animal under me to pass. So I went up in the night by the valley and viewed the wall. Then I turned back and entered by the valley gate, and so returned. And the officials did not know where I had gone or what I had done. I had not yet told the Jews, the priests, the nobles, the officials, or the others who did the work. Then I said to them, "You see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lies waste and its gates are burned with fire. Come and let us build the wall of Jerusalem, that we may no longer be a reproach." And I told them of the hand of my God, which had been good upon me, and also of the king's words that he had spoken to me. So they said, "Let us rise up and build." Then they set their hands to this good work. But when Sanballat, the Horonite, Tobiah the Ammonite official, and Geshem the Arab heard of it, they laughed at us and despised us and said, "What is this thing that you are doing? Will you rebel against the king?" So I answered them and said to them, "The God of heaven himself will prosper us. Therefore, we his servants will arise and build, but you have no heritage or right or memorial in Jerusalem." The prophet Nehemiah had come to town, a man sent by God. And the Lord had put something in his heart, something that had to be done. The Bible says he arose in the night, a few men with him. Verses 12 and 13, "Then I arose in the night, I and a few men with me. I told no one what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem, nor was there any animal with me except the one on which I rode. And I went out by night through the valley gate to the serpent well and the refuse gate, and viewed the walls of Jerusalem." A man on a mission. A man with a mission. And as he looked at the walls, as he viewed the walls of Jerusalem, what would he see? Verse 13, "And I went out by night through the valley gate to the serpent well and the refuse gate, and viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and its gates, which were burned with fire." Broken down walls, gates burned with fire. This scene, this reality. And he rode on to the fountain gate and to the king's pool, and here, no room to pass. Verses 15 and 16, so I went up in the night by the valley and viewed the wall. Then I turned back and entered by the valley gate and so returned. And the officials did not know where I had gone or what I had done. I had not yet told the Jews, the priests, the nobles, the officials, or the others who did the work. What a sight to behold. This scene, this reality, the viewing of this. And it was time to speak up. The utterance of the prophet. And so he spoke. You see the distress that we are in. How Jerusalem lies waste and its gates are burned with fire. The book of Nehemiah opens with a visitation. A brother had come with men from Judah. They came to the prophet. And they spoke with the prophet. The prophet asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, who had survived the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. Nehemiah 1 verse 3, and they said to me, the survivors who are left from the captivity in the province are there in great distress and reproach. And the wall of Jerusalem is also broken down and its gates burned with fire. Could it be? The people of the Lord in great distress and reproach. The wall of the holy city broken down. And its gates burned with fire. You know, the Bible says that when the prophet heard these words, he sat down and wept. And mourned for many days, fasting and praying before the God of heaven. Verses 5 to 11, and I said, I pray, Lord God of heaven, O great and awesome God, you keep your covenant and mercy with those who love you and observe your commandments. Please let your ear be attentive and your eyes open, that you may hear the prayer of your servant, which I pray before you now, day and night, for the children of Israel, your servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against you. Both my father's house and I have sinned. We have acted very corruptly against you and have not kept the commandments, the statutes, nor the ordinances which you commanded your servant Moses. Remember, I pray, the word that you commanded your servant Moses, saying, if you are faithful, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations, but if you return to me and keep my commandments and do them, though some of you are cast out to the farthest part of the heavens, yet I will gather them from there and bring them to the place which I have chosen as a dwelling for my name. Now these are your servants and your people, whom you have redeemed by your great power and by your strong hand. O Lord, I pray, please let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and to the prayer of your servants who desire to fear your name. And let your servant prosper this day, I pray, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. Nehemiah, a king's cupbearer. And there came a day when the king noticed his countenance and the king spoke to him. Why is your face sad, since you are not sick? This is nothing but sorrow of heart. What was it? Why had his countenance fallen? Why such sorrow of heart? Nehemiah 2, verses 2 and 3. So I became dreadfully afraid and said to the king, "May the king live forever. Why should my face not be sad when the city, the place of my father's tombs, lies waste and its gates are burned with fire?" How could you not be moved, affected, gripped, saddened, brought to weeping? The king asked Nehemiah his request. And we see what the Lord had put in the heart of a man. And we see what the Lord will put in the heart of a man. At the news that the people of God, survivors left from the captivity, are in great distress and reproach. The news that the wall of Jerusalem is broken down and its gates burned with fire. Nehemiah's request: "If it pleases the king and if your servant has found favor in your sight, I ask that you send me to Judah, to the city of my father's tombs, that I may rebuild it." Is there news of distress? News of reproach? News of broken down walls? News of gates burned with fire? Could it be walls of salvation and gates of praise, where past generations lived and died? Walls of principle, gates of protection, walls of devotion and gates of secured access. It's the picture of a city of fathers in whose time the walls stood and the gates functioned. And their time, having come and gone, has given way to a new generation. How could you not sit and weep? Nehemiah, the king sent him according to the good hand of his God upon him. Nehemiah came to town, a man on a mission, a man sent by God. And he viewed the walls and the gates with his own eyes, and the state of the place was confirmed. A man sent by God. A man sent to rouse a people. A man sent to stir a people. A man sent to rally a people. Nehemiah 2, verses 17 and 18, I said to them, "You see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lies waste and its gates are burned with fire. Come, come, and let us build the walls of Jerusalem that we may no longer be a reproach." And I told them of the hand of my God, which had been good upon me, and also the king's words that he had spoken to me. So they said, "Let us rise up and build." Then they set their hands to this good work. Can you hear the word of the Lord today? Can you hear the voice of the prophet? That which the Lord has put in his heart, can you see as the prophet sees? Look at the walls. Look at the gates. Let us build that we may no longer be a reproach. Verse 18, so they said, "Let us rise up and build." Then they set their hands to this good work. Lord, let it be so now. The Amplified Classic, and they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for the good work. The Amplified, and they said, let us rise up and build. So they thoroughly supported the good work. Rise. The Hebrew verb to stand or arise is often an instruction to get ready to fulfill a command. Somewhat similar to the military command, attention. Let us rise and build. Let us rise. Let's build. You know, I was thinking about interest rates as of late. Perhaps many of you have been as well. Anyone here today praying for them to go down? Well, there's one interest rate I'm praying will skyrocket and take to new untold heights. Kingdom of God interest rate. The message, they said, we're with you, let's get started. They rolled up their sleeves, ready for the good work. The New Century Version, then they answered, let's start building. So they began to work hard. It's time to rise and build. It's time to rebuild the walls. It's time to set gates in place. The building had begun and the people were totally committed to the good work, thoroughly supporting the good work. Would there be opposition to such a holy construction project? Nehemiah 2:19. But when Sanballat the Horonite, Tobiah the Ammonite, official, and Geshem the Arab heard of it, they laughed at us and despised us and said, what is this thing you are doing? Will you rebel against the king? Listen, there may be laughter and we may be despised. So what? Let the walls remain broken down, and the gates charred. Let the place remain in ruins, carry on in distress, carry on a reproach. No, Nehemiah responded. Verse 20, so I answered them and said to them, the God of heaven himself will prosper us. Therefore, we his servants will arise and build. But you have no heritage or right or memorial in Jerusalem. Hear the word of the Lord today. If we will rise up, roll up our sleeves, fully support the good work, set our hands, strengthen our hands for this good work, the Lord our God will prosper us, and no weapon formed against us shall prosper, and no rogue kingdom raised against us shall stand. View the walls. View the gates. See as the prophet sees. A city of fathers. Nehemiah chapter 3. You know, my, how the people were committed. My, how the people built. And then we come to chapter 4. Chapter 4, beginning at verse 1, but it so happened when Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall that he was furious and very indignant and mocked the Christians. And he spoke before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, what are these feeble Christians? What are these feeble Jews doing? Will they fortify themselves? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they complete it in a day? Will they revive the stones from the heaps of rubbish? Stones that are burned? Now Tobiah the Ammonite was beside him, and he said, whatever they build, if even a fox goes up on it, he will break down their stone wall. People of God, there's always opposition. There's always the voice, who are these feeble Christians? Verses 4 to 6, hear, O our God, for we are despised. Turn their reproach on their own heads and give them as plunder to the land of captivity. Do not cover their iniquity and do not let their sin be blotted out from before you. For they have provoked you to anger before the builders. So we built the wall and the entire wall was joined together up to half its height, for the people had a mind to work. The Message paraphrase, boomerang their ridicule on their heads. Have their enemies cart them off as war trophies to a land of no return. Don't forgive their iniquity. Don't wipe away their sin. They have insulted the builders. Did you catch that? For they have provoked you to anger before the builders. The Amplified Bible, for they have vexed with alarm the builders and provoked you. Listen, the Lord is for us. The Lord is for those who purpose to build, and those that would oppose the work provoke the Lord to anger. Keep repairing. Keep rebuilding. Oh, the Message, we kept at it, repairing and rebuilding the wall. The whole wall was soon joined together and halfway to its intended height because the people had a heart for the work. Have a heart for the work. Generation, have a heart. Verses 7 to 9, now it happened when Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs, and the Ammonites, and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were being restored and the gaps were beginning to be closed, that they became very angry. And all of them conspired together to come and attack Jerusalem and create confusion. Nevertheless, we made our prayer to our God, and because of them, we set a watch against them day and night. Listen, if we are going to build and see the work completed, we are going to have to pray. More mention of prayer. Another call to prayer. I ask, how's the prayer life? Is there any prayer in Jerusalem? Is there prayer being offered up? Is there petitioning of heaven? Listen, kingdom builders pray. Look at how these builders responded to conspiring, the attempt and the plot to create confusion. They made their prayer to God and they set a watch against them day and night. Serious business, church. Serious times. They continued to build, and the strength of the laborers began failing. And a voice was heard. There is so much rubbish that we are not able to build the wall. And voices were heard, verse 11. And our adversary said, they will neither know nor see anything till we come into their midst and kill them and cause the work to cease. And more voices were heard, verse 12. So it was when the Jews who dwelt near them came that they told us 10 times. From whatever place you turn, they will be upon us. Discouraging voices among us. Don't let them melt your heart. Voices, voices, and more voices. Oh, it's how it is. Voices, voices, and more voices. Nehemiah began positioning the men. He began setting the people according to their families. And he looked and arose and said to the nobles, to the leaders, and to the rest of the people, "Do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord great and awesome, and fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses." And the highest voice would speak to us today. Remember the Lord your God. He is great and awesome. Fight for your brethren, for your sons and your daughters and your wives and your houses. Serious times. Verses 15 to 18, "And it happened when our enemies heard that it was known to us, and that God had brought their plot to nothing, that all of us returned to the wall, everyone to his work. So it was from that time on that half of my servants worked at construction, while the other half held the spears, the shields, the bows, and wore armor. And the leaders were behind all the house of Judah, supported and supporting. Those who built on the wall and those who carried burdens loaded themselves so that with one hand they worked at construction and with the other held a weapon. Every one of the builders had his sword girded at his side as he built, and the one who sounded the trumpet was beside me." What a scene. Miraculous happening. Trust in the Lord. He breaks weapons. He makes wars to cease. He brings plots to nothing. Return to the wall. Keep guard and carry burdens. A hand of labor and the hand of war. Gird yourself with the sword of the Lord, the word of the Lord. Verses 19 and 20, "Then I said to the nobles, the rulers, and the rest of the people, 'The work is great and extensive, and we are separated far from one another on the wall. Whenever you hear the sound of the trumpet, rally to us there. Our God will fight for us.'" The work is great and extensive. And there is the time when we as a congregation are separated from one another. And yet whenever we hear the sound of the trumpet, we need to rally. We need to rally together. We need to come together. We need to rally to the house of the Lord. And the Lord our God will fight for us. Verses 21 to 23, "So we labored in the work. And half of the men held spears from daybreak until the stars appeared." What manner of people? "At the same time, I also said to the people, 'Let each man and his servant stay at night in Jerusalem, that they may be our guard by night and a working party by day.' So neither I, my brethren, my servants, nor the men of the guard who followed me took off our clothes, except that everyone took them off for washing." Labor in the work. Guard by night and work by day. Remain clothed, and by the grace of our God, the work will be completed. Are there walls broken down? Gates burned with fire? The kingdom in this generation. The kingdom of God in the earth. The kingdom of God in a nation. A province. A city. Look at the walls. View the gates. Are there any walls broken down, gates burned with fire? The kingdom of God in a family. The kingdom of God, a church. The kingdom of God, a person, a man, a woman. You know, the chambers of the heart. The words of David Wilkerson. In Nehemiah's day, the walls of Jerusalem were in ruins. The city, a literal pile of stones. And the church was totally backslidden, with no witness left. The wicked powers surrounding Israel persecuted them severely, mocking every work they tried to undertake. How did God respond in such a time of ruin? Did he send a well-trained army to help them? Did he send a palace guard to smite their prominent enemies? No. God raised up a man, Nehemiah. Nehemiah was a man with God's burden on his heart. He spent his time praying, fasting, and mourning because he was broken over Israel's condition. He also continually dug into God's word, grasping prophecy and moving in the Spirit. Although Nehemiah served as a cupbearer to the king of Persia, he remained separate from the wickedness surrounding him. In the midst of all the sensuality, immorality, and godlessness taking place in Israel, he maintained a holy walk with the Lord. And in turn, everyone who heard him preach was purified in soul. Man, soon a revival of holiness swept the land. The priests and the Levites purified themselves and purified the people and the gates and the wall, Nehemiah 12:30. The house of God also was purged with everything of flesh cast out. Nehemiah sent workers into the temple telling them, I want every piece of filth out of here. Don't leave anything that has to do with idolatry or sensuality. The man sent by God. And this is what God put in his heart. Beloved, this is God's concept of revival. It's all about sweeping out every chamber of your heart that's unclean and unsanctified. He wants no dark places left. Where did Nehemiah get such spiritual authority? To cause compromisers to tremble and to bring back godly fear to the temple? The king did not give it to him. No church bishop gave it to him. He didn't learn it from a Bible school. No, Nehemiah got his authority on his knees, weeping, broken, wanting to know God's heart. And because he was a man of prayer, he was able to confess the sins of the whole nation. That thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night. And confess the sins of the children of Israel. Both I and my father's house have sinned. We have dealt very corruptly against thee and have not kept the commandments. Let's have the worship team return. God's concept of revival. I know the man has their concepts. God's concept of revival. Yes. It's a day to rise. Let us rise and build. Set our hands to this good work. And may the walls and gates, the city and every chamber be a glory and blessing to our God. Charles Finney said, revival is a renewed conviction of sin and repentance, followed by an intense desire to live in obedience to God. It is giving up one's will to God in deep humility. God's concept of revival. Billy Graham, when God gets ready to shake a nation, he may not take the PhD and the DD. God may choose a country boy. God may choose a man that no one knows, a little nobody, to shake the nation for Jesus Christ in this day. And I pray that he would. Leonard Ravenhill, a true man of God is heartsick, grieved at the worldliness of the church, grieved at the toleration of sin in the church, grieved at the prayerlessness in the church. He is disturbed that the corporate prayer of the church no longer pulls down the strongholds of the devil. Man, the news came. People are in distress. Reproach. The wall's broken down. The gates are burned with fire. How might we respond to such news? Would we sit down and weep? Pray, fast, seek the Lord, call on God, take on some sorrow of heart. Let God speak to us, give us a mandate and a mission. Give us the direction. Would we allow God to send us and would we go? Let the Lord give you his heart. A.W. Tozer said, our most pressing obligation is to do all in our power to obtain a revival that will result in a reformed, revitalized, purified church. Each generation of Christians is the seed of the next, and degenerate seed is sure to produce a degenerate harvest.